40.
With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save. The Florida Gators are coming off of a huge upset win of number 9 Texas that dropped them completely out of the top 25. What is next for the Florida Gators? Oh, a trip to College Station, Texas, where they will take on an undefeated Texas A&M team who continues to improve every single week. Graham Hall of 247 Sports, the Gators, and Olin Buchanan, TexAgs Radio, joins us on this edition, excuse me, to preview the Texas A&M and Florida matchup right here on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out, you're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Wednesday evening edition of the Stingray Show. But before we dive into A&M and Florida, I want to grab your attention, especially if you were an Alabama fan listening to this show after Hey Coach, because I'm about to give to you a national college football history on this day that has to do with the Alabama Crimson Tide, and it was a big one. On October the 8th, which is today, back in 1977, number 7 Alabama went out to Pasadena and upset number 1 USC 21-20 in a battle of college football heavyweights, and the game featured 8 future College Football Hall of Famers, including Crimson Tide coach Paul Bear Bryant and linebacker Woodrow Lowe, as well as USC running back Charles White and coach John Robinson. Now, in that game, USC fullback Lynn Cain scored with 38 seconds remaining on the clock to cut the lead to 1 point. However, they decided to go for 2. That was USC, and Alabama linebacker Barry Krause intercepted USC's conversion attempt, and the Tide held on for the upset victory. So October the 8th was a good day for Alabama history as it went out to USC, and they were number one in the country in Los Angeles back in 1977, and they knocked off the Trojans in a thrilling 21-20 victory with Barry Krause intercepting USC's conversion pass attempt when they tried to go for two and the win. So with that, now let's go ahead and be joined by Graham Hall of 247 Sports the Gators to talk about the Florida Gators as they have a matchup this weekend with the Texas A&M Aggies after beating Texas at home last week. Graham, how were things with you in Gainesville, Florida?
I'm doing great. It's always better and more fun, quite honestly, to write about a team after a win. People will actually read what you want to write. They'll read about the players, and there's a little bit renewed optimism for this Florida team. Beating a top 10 team after a tough 2 weeks of facing Miami and LSU, both on the road here, but it doesn't get any easier for Florida. They have no time to breathe. They have no time to pat themselves on the back. They got to face a really, really, really good Texas A&M team this Saturday night in College Station.
Briefly, I have to ask, and I know that you're probably getting asked this a lot this week, how many times can Billy Napier save his job at Florida? My goodness, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's been impressive, that aspect of it, because I do think that, you know, if you're a coach and you see the writing on the wall, you can look at the schedule, look at the start, and you could throw in the towel. You know, you're going to get a lot of money for failing. And it's one of the few jobs where, you know, I hate to say even failing, but falling short of the level of expectation that your team and your fans have. It's an impressive job by him to not quit. He looks at the players and feels bad that he and his coaching staff are not doing a good enough job to put them in a position to be successful. And just like the team hasn't quit on him, he's not quitting on this team. And it's why they were able to do what they did on Saturday against Texas, where they were of the belief that the bye week could help, that getting DJ Lagway a full week of 11-on-11, good-on-good practices would really benefit them. And then you saw, finally, the DJ Lagway that we expected to begin the year, the guy who was dynamic, made some incredible throws. That sidearm throw that he made on that crossing route was a really impressive throw. He's got all the physical tools. It just has really been about staying healthy, not him being an inadequate quarterback or below the level that we thought. He just hasn't been able to be healthy for the past 9 months. And when he got that full week of practice time, you saw what he could be. You saw what he could do. And obviously, the expectations are a little bit higher now, having seen that 298-yard performance, 2 touchdowns, 21 of 29 passing. He's going to have to go out there against a really, really good Texas A&M defense, which has an impressive defensive front. They got talent in the secondary. Their front seven in general is good. I think they're fourth in the SEC in sacks. They've got 18 sacks. Cassius Howell has been a beast this season, as has Torian York. So they absolutely are going to have to be on their P's and Q's this week. And we'll see if Billy Napier, once again, knowing that his job is still up in the air, his future is uncertain in Florida beyond these immediate weeks, whether he can continue doing what he did on Saturday, which was give himself another lifeline to stay alive here in Gainesville.
The last thing I want to talk about with the Texas game before we move on, you got to see them in person. Regardless of the comeback there at the end of the game, talk about the real struggles that Sarkisian and Arch Manning are dealing with there in Austin, Texas.
Well, Arch Manning's a young quarterback. I mean, he is still scratching the surface of his potential. You look at the competition he faced in high school, being the first year of a starter in the SEC, it makes sense that there's going to be some struggles. I kind of think I talked about it with you last time that, you know, stop proclaiming these guys to be instant impact Heisman Trophy candidates when they haven't started a full season, when they're, you know, sophomores or even in their third year of a program. If it's their first full season as a starter, maybe we should temper expectations a little bit. I've seen people write and say that is Arch Manning the first, you know, bust in college football. First off, too soon to know if he's a bust. Second off, absolutely not the first. I think that we're in this day and age where, especially when you have the Manning name attached to you and you have the Arch named after Archie, you're going to have sky-high expectations, absolutely. And maybe we should temper those a little bit and give quarterbacks some breathing room. But outside of Arch Manning, they do have some real concerns, in my opinion. That offensive line is not as good as I think many people thought that they'd be coming into the year. They're certainly not a championship caliber offensive line in my mind. And they were missing their top running back in C.J. Baxter and Quintrevion Wisner, which I guess you could make an argument for is their number one running back. He's coming off an injury as well, playing hurt, and they weren't able to establish the ground game that was going to give Arch Manning the help he needed. And with all that said, Arch Manning still made a lot of really, really good throws. He missed a couple of guys. I think he could have had, you know, you could make a case that he had two chances to connect with open receivers that probably would have been touchdowns in that game and entirely changed the outcome. He'll make those throws later on in his career. He has a ton of potential. The offensive line is more of a concern for me. I think that Texas's defense is really, really good. You know, obviously with Hill and, you know, Simmons, the guys that they have there are some of the best. They would be, you know, stars at any program in the country. So if they can figure out the offensive line, if Arch Manning can continue to improve and they can get a little more balance offensively, this is still a Texas team, in my mind, has a chance to make the college football playoff. Florida really kind of took advantage of being at home, having a, you know, raucous home atmosphere with 90,000 plus fans that made it difficult. You saw that quote from Steve Sarkisian that he came out and said, we'll see if any other team can go to Ohio State and Florida and see how they do. That absolutely is true. The Swamp is a tough place to play. That sound is unlike, you know, the way it's built is unlike anything else really out there. There's nowhere for it to go. And Florida was able to, their fans were able to rattle a young quarterback and take advantage of a team that came in with some things to fix, some injuries, absolutely. And Florida desperately needed a win. And I think it all culminated in what we saw on Saturday.
So we are up against our first break of the evening. When we come back right here on the Stingray Show, Bram Hall is going to break down the A&M matchup for us. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do this event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227. To schedule an appointment to build your financial security, the Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic. Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan at Traffic Center. Northbound Highway 69 headed from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. Accident with some lane blockage going to be after Mimosa Park Road at Calusa Avenue. And that's causing a 6 to 7 minute delay. No issues on the southbound side of 69. Earlier accident eastbound 2059 headed from Foster's to McFarland before Western Bypass. That has cleared. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Joshua Dausch.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. And before the break, I did say that that was my last question about the Texas game, but I do have one more about a certain player for the Florida Gators. And Graham, that was Dallas Wilson, who had 6 catches for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first game that he played in this season. Talk about his performance on Saturday.
Yeah, kind of everything I said about the quarterbacks, I don't think it really applies as much to freshman wide receivers, because we've seen in recent years guys like Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams come in and be instant impact type guys. And that was the belief ahead of the season of what Dallas Wilson would be for Florida. He had that record-breaking spring game 3 months into being on campus with 10 catches, 195 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And he was immediately identified as the guy who was going to start from the jump within Florida's offense. He suffers a foot injury, is in a cast in the middle of fall camp, has his collegiate debut postponed. And I think you can fairly say that in retrospect, that was part of why Florida's offense was just not as explosive as it was, because you saw what he was able to do out there on Saturday with his 6 receptions. One of those was that 55-yard grab where he shrugged off multiple defenders, tiptoed the sidelines, broke through a tackle, got into the end zone. That was a huge play. There was another one where DJ Lagway threw kind of just a little fade to him near the sideline where only he could go up and get it. That was a beautiful throw from Lagway, and that was a catch from a freshman who did not look like a guy in his first game. That was huge for Florida, his return. And obviously he wasn't the only freshman making an impact. Vernell Brown III, we've talked about him. He has continued to be important for Florida, not just offensively, but in the kicking game as well as Florida's kickoff and punt returner. Both of those guys combined to be a dynamic duo there at wideout for Florida in the game. And they certainly are going to look to feed Dallas Wilson moving forward. Having seen what he can do, he absolutely lived up to the hype. You know, sometimes you're sitting here wondering if you're overhyping freshmen or even sophomores, like I just talked about. But for Dallas Wilson, I think he proved on Saturday that all of the offseason hype was warranted. The top 50 designation as a recruit, the reason that programs like Oregon and all the in-state programs wanted him to be on their roster was because of what you saw on Saturday.
All right, when we turn the page and move to the Texas A&M game this weekend, Florida has lost 3 of the past 4 games against the Aggies. The only win came in 2022 in College Station. How are fans? Are they excited or are they a little bit nervous about taking on the Aggies in College Station?
I think a good combination of both. I mean, you think of the excitement aspect, that was absolutely restored after Florida's win over Texas. But going on the road has always been a little bit difficult, more difficult than I think it should be for Billy Napier and his program. They kind of have not had the results away from Gainesville that they've had in Gainesville. That is another hurdle, another milestone that people are looking for out of this program, to see how they do on the road. I also think that you look at Texas A&M, I mean, this is a team that, in my opinion, has a really, really good chance of making the college football playoff. You look at the schedule in front of them and you look at what they've already done so far, they are impressive in all 3 phases. Marcel Reed, I said before the season that I thought too many people were sleeping on him after what he did, and I still feel really good about that take. He has nearly you know, 1,300 passing yards. He does damage on the ground. He's got a pair of rushing touchdowns as well. He's completing, you know, 60% of his throws, and he's got a really talented group around him in the skill positions. You know, you look at Le'Veon Moss, you look at, you know, KC Concepcion. I'm sure I butchered that name. You look at Mario Craver, who leads the SEC in receiving yards with more than 550 receiving yards. He's got nearly half of Marcel Reed's passing yards. I mean, you look at KC and Mario right there. They're 1-2, or they're 2-3 in the SEC in all-purpose yards heading into this game. Then you look at them defensively. Cassius Howell, who I mentioned, Torian York, you know, they have a couple guys that were at Florida as well who've been contributors, and TJ Searcy and Scooby Williams. Like, Scooby's been hurt a little bit, but he's a guy who certainly is capable. And then you've got some storylines there of a couple of UF former assistant coaches are now on the defensive staff. Sean Spencer, who was Florida's defensive line coach 2 years ago, is the defensive line coach for the Aggies, and that unit looks really, really good. They're good in the interior as well, which is a premium position in my mind in college football. And then Jay Bateman, you know, he was Florida's linebackers coach a couple years ago. He's kind of got a little chip on his shoulder from what I understand from how his tenure at Florida ended. Those guys are motivated to beat Florida. They're efficient in all three phases. It's hard for me to pinpoint a weakness for this Texas A&M team. They are really, really good. So that is why I think there's a good bit of nervousness in this game. You know, Billy Napier said on Monday that this game has a chance to be a multiplier rather than being a letdown. But if they're going to avoid a letdown, they're going to have to beat a really, really talented team. I think a team that you could make the case for being the most complete team Florida has faced thus far this season. And that's a bold statement considering how good Miami is. This is a tough one for me because I could see this going either way. I hate to cop out and say that this could be a game that's decided by a handful of plays in either direction. But I do feel that way. Everything I said about Billy Napier on the road, he's going to have to prove it to me, not so much me, but so much to the masses, that he can go out there and win these difficult road games, that they can overcome, you know, 108,000 screaming fans, that they can limit an impressive quarterback, that they can push Texas A&M to make some decisions and some uncharacteristic mistakes that they haven't made. And this Texas A&M defense is probably going to be the toughest one that Florida has faced all season long. They're going to have to be able to execute at an even higher rate than they did on Saturday. With all that said, right now, I'm going 24-20 Texas A&M. I think it's going to be close. I think Florida's going to come up just short, whether it's a late score by the Aggies down the stretch or Florida can't execute on a final drive to win the game. I think that this is going to end in a little bit of disappointment for the Gators. I think it's going to be close. But with all that said, it's just hard for me right now to envision Florida downing this caliber of a Texas A&M team, one that I think is going to make the playoff, that I think is just one of the SEC's more impressive teams out there right now in a pretty wide open SEC, if you ask me. So right now, I think Florida loses a narrow game, 24-20. But at the same time, not to give myself a cop-out in any way, I could see this game going either way. I don't think it's going to be a beatdown by either Texas A&M or by Florida. I think it's going to be a close game in the fourth quarter, one that people are going to be tuning into and staying up a little bit late to watch how this one finishes.
Graham, look, man, thank you. Good luck to the Florida Gators this weekend. Are you making the trip over to College Station?
I am. I'm flying into Houston Friday morning, driving over to College Station Saturday morning. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be my third time being there and only my second time, knock on wood, where I didn't get COVID while I was there. So I'm looking forward to it a ton. It should be a really, really good time. I'm looking forward to a great atmosphere on Saturday at Kyle Field. It's going to be quite a game to watch. I think it's going to be a marquee matchup, and I'm really looking forward to being out there and seeing how it all unfolds.
Be safe flying out there into Houston. Go and enjoy your time. We will catch up with you definitely next week to recap the A&M game and to preview Florida's homecoming matchup with the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me as always. Talk to you next time. Should be a great time. I'm just hoping those TSA lines are not crazy at the airport. That's my biggest concern, I'll be quite honest. So once I get through TSA and get on my flight, it's pretty much smooth sailing from there, right?
That's correct. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
So, guys, that is going to wrap up the first half of the Stingray Show with Graham Hall. When we come back on the other side of this break, the Stingray Show, which is a part of your show as well, we are going to be talking with Olin Buchanan of TxAgs Radio to get his take on the A&M side of the Florida game and to do a brief recap of the Mississippi State matchup that was this past Saturday. That's on the other side of the break, and you're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. The reason that I keep saying we is because I want you guys to be a part of the Stingray Show as well. Be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Alabama Football is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Two Dimes, Taco Casa, Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa, Mary's Travel Center, Catfish Heaven, Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Department, Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, and Townsend Honda.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So, please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Hey, this is Wyatt.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show on this Wednesday evening. We are doing a preview of the Texas A&M Aggies and the Florida Gators. And we were talking about Florida before the break. Now, let's move to the home team and the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies in College Station. And in this series between Florida and A&M, A&M currently has a lead of 4-3 for Florida, and Texas A&M is on a 1-game win streak against the Florida Gators, which they took care of Florida in the swamp last year. To break down this game from the A&M side, here is our good friend from TxAgs, Mr. Olin Buchanan. Olin, I've got to ask you to start off the show. Is Texas back? Yes or no?
Back where they belong.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I was couldn't watch the game because, you know, I do the pregame show for Texas A&M. But I was able to keep up a bit and watch some of the highlights of that Florida-Texas game. And, you know, people focus on Arch Manning. I thought he was okay, actually. I think they got a lot more issues over there than Arch. You know, their offensive line just doesn't look very good. I think their receivers are maybe a little bit overhyped, and their interior defensive line isn't near what it was last year. It seemed like whenever Florida needed a first down, they could just run the ball inside and pick it up. And I'm sure that's going to be an area where they're going to challenge A&M this week. I do think that A&M is stronger in the defensive line than Texas is. So that might be a area where I'm not saying that Florida won't have some measure of success, but I think it'll be a little bit more challenging.
I have to ask, how exciting and how good does it feel for the Aggie faithful and for you to see Texas kind of on this downward spiral a little bit and the Aggies just continuing to win and stay undefeated?
Well, you know, I think everybody's just really is just wanting to see the Aggies be win. Isn't that enough? Does Mississippi State ever find any pleasure in Ole Miss losing? Or does, yes, you know, Auburn ever find any pleasure in Alabama losing?
Yes.
You know, so I would like to think we're above that. We're just about ourselves. You know, we're like Mississippi State. We're not going to find pleasure in Ole Miss losing.
I like you ended that with a laugh. So, Olin, let's go on ahead and dive into the recap of that Mississippi State game. And I'm going to be honest with you. I bet you guys don't want to see Mississippi State for quite a while because that first half was hard to watch.
Mississippi State is, a good team. And I think that it was a very physical game. And as is becoming very consistent about A&M, you know, they had some opportunities that they squandered with penalties or, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Mississippi State on that goal line stand.
Right.
But I'll say this, at least A&M learned from it. And, the next time they were down there, they faked inside instead of running essentially the same play four times in a row. And they threw the touchdown pass to KC Concepcion. So, to me, that was not necessarily the score, but that was a pretty typical A&M Mississippi State game. You know, I mean, it's a slobber knocker. There's some good hitting. There's some good physical play. Right. And I just think that the difference was that A&M was able to control the line of scrimmage. And that wasn't surprising considering all the offensive line issues and injuries that Mississippi State had. And A&M, quite frankly, is pretty good in the defensive line. And their offensive line, I think, is one of the best in the SEC. So I think that's where A&M was able to get the advantage.
Briefly, as we move to the Florida game, recap this matchup for last year because this was pretty much the coming out party for Marcel Reed. They're on the road early in the season in Gainesville.
Yeah, it was his first, extended play, any meaningless or meaningful minutes in that game. They didn't know that he was going to start until about an hour before the game. You know, they keep waiting to see if Connor Wigman was going to be healthy. And, you know, you're going over there. Even Steve Sarkisian talks about how tough it is to win in the swamp. So you're going over there and highly motivated, as always, Florida team that's always talented. And I think early in the game, like maybe on the second or third play of A&M offense, A&M's looking at a third and long, and Marcel kept it and tucked it and ran for like 30 yards and picked up the first down. You're like, okay, maybe they got something here. Mm-hmm. And then he took them down for a touchdown later where he – found his second option, which was a tight end, found him open about a 30-yard pass right down the middle. And you're like, okay, you know, maybe this is going to be okay. The defense was playing pretty well, even though I think if you're a Florida fan, I'm sure you'd agree with me. I think that Billy Napier made a big tactical error in that game and that he kept rotating the quarterbacks. And I understand why, because if he adds DJ Lagway in there, and if you lose and don't play him, can you imagine the reaction? But Graham Mertz was playing better. And every time they moved the ball with Graham Mertz throwing, they had a couple of drops. But I think that when Graham left the game, Florida's offense wasn't as dangerous. It was just more experience and knew where to go with the ball. They had good receivers like they do this year. But Marcel kept making plays. And early in the second half, he kind of scrambled away from pressure and threw a pass off schedule to Cyrus Allen for like a 60-yard touchdown. And then later, Will Lee deflected a pass on a slant. And Bryce Anderson caught the deflection and ran it in. And I think right there, you know, that sealed it. And so I thought A&M was in control of the game, but never felt just absolutely comfortable. Le'Veon Moss played great in that game, too. And that was kind of a coming. We knew Le'Veon was good, but that was kind of the game where he asserted himself as one of the better backs in the SEC.
So, Olin, you just talked about last year's matchup down there in Florida in Gainesville. When we go into the game this year, what most concerns you about this year's Florida Gator football team?
Well, first of all, they seem to be pretty good on defense, right? I didn't see their game against Miami, but I understand it was pretty competitive until late. Yeah. And, you know, obviously Miami's number two ranked team in the country. And then we all saw what Dallas Wilson did in his first game back. So you got to have – or first game at all. So you got to be really respectful of him and Ball, too. I mean, that's a running back that can go. So, but I think right now in his career, DJ Lagway is like that big power hitter that has a tendency to strike out. But when he connects, you know, it's huge, right? Because you know, we all saw that he had the five interceptions at LSU and things like that. So, but he's still so dangerous. And so I think you're kind of holding your breath on every play with DJ. And sometimes it's going to come out well for you. Sometimes it doesn't.
So, Olin, we're up against yet another break. And when we come back, we are going to dive into the matchup this weekend about where you feel like that Florida can exploit A&M and where A&M can exploit Florida. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to keys to victory for the Alabama Crimson Tide against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports National Analyst. Our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall, joins us all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. question, contact Jeff Bagwell today once again at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Northbound Highway 69 headed from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. Accident with some lane blockage going to be after Mimosa Park Road at Calusa Avenue. And that's causing a 6 to 7 minute delay. No issues on the southbound side of 69. Earlier accident eastbound 2059 headed from Foster's to McFarland before Western Bypass. That has cleared. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Joshua Dausch.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcoming you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be in entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
Welcome back inside the Sing Ray Show. My second guest of the evening is Olin Buchanan from Tex-Ax Radio. And Olin, when we look at the Florida Gator matchup this weekend, where are you most concerned that Florida could take advantage of Texas A&M?
Well, just Florida's big playability. You know, I think it still comes back down to again, what I've said with their receivers, they had opportunities last year. Now, A&M's defense is better than it was last year. They had opportunities in the passing game and make big plays. And Dallas Wilson, what he was against Texas. I know they have some other guys, too. So I think even though A&M's secondary has been playing pretty well, I think when you go up against a Florida team like that, at least to me, that's the first and primary area of concern is just can you keep them from having – the big explosive plays. They're going to get plays, but can you make sure that 20-yard pass doesn't turn into a 40-yard touchdown? I think A&M can play, you know, strong run defense, even though probably not as strong as they were last. I mean, you don't ever go in thinking, okay, I'm just going to keep a team under 100 yards rushing, even though they've done that three times this year. But I think they can play pretty strong run defense. Wilson and some of the other receivers and Lagway throwing deep, making big plays in the passing game. I think that'd be the thing I'd be concerned about most.
All right. Where can A&M take advantage of Florida?
Maybe the same place. It seems to me, and I'm just looking at stats, so and I know stats don't always tell the story, but it seems to me that Florida doesn't have a – overpowering pass rush. So if you give Marcel Reed time, I think with Casey Concepcion and Mario Craver and even Terry Bussing, I think A&M, same way, has some big play guys that can, you know, you get them the ball and they can do some impressive things with it. I do think that Marcel Reed should look to run more often. I don't think they want him to, because, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's only about 185 pounds. And A&M, as you know, Stingray, hasn't gotten through a season with a starting quarterback making it through the whole year since 2020.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so I think they want to, they're worried about his health, but this is a big game. You know, you got a three-game road trip after this. So I think you just got to – and I think Florida's better, like I said, than the record indicates. So you got to give it all you got. And one of the things that was really a problem for Florida last year, maybe the biggest problem for Florida last year, was Marcel making plays off schedule and being a running threat. So I think just that passing game, the big play receivers, plus that at least that threat of Marcel making plays off schedule, is where A&M could do some damage.
So, Olin, the last time that Florida won in College Station was 2022, a final of 41-24. Can A&M get revenge from the last time that they played them in College Station this weekend? Who you got, the Aggies or the Gators?
Well, it's like I always say, there's only one team that I see all the time, and I bet I judge that based on the way they're playing. And yeah, I'll typically take A&M at home,
yeah,
especially when they're playing well, and especially at night. So yeah, I would look for A&M to win. I think even though they've left a lot of points out on the field against Auburn and some against Mississippi State, I think they're even more explosive than Florida. And being at home, it's hard to win SEC games on the road, especially at night. So I'm looking at A&M to win this one, something along the lines of, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw it end up 34-24.
And as we walk out the door, Olin, moving forward past Florida, at Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri, South Carolina, and then at Texas, which couple of games in that stretch through the remainder of the season concerns you the most?
Probably LSU, because A&M hasn't won in Baton Rouge since 1994. Right. Now, they haven't played every year, obviously, not even every other year. Missouri, if you ask me that after this week, I might say Missouri, but you and I both know Missouri's looked good but hadn't played anybody. When the best team you played is Kansas and you had to score late to make it a two-score game, I don't know. I'm not going to be impressed by a big win over Massachusetts.
Right.
Or I think they played. Did they play Kent State or somebody in that ilk? Central Arkansas is not going to impress. And I think Eli Drinkwitz would even say, hey, we haven't really been challenged that much. They had a hard time with South Carolina. So, but if they go out and beat Alabama,
yeah,
well, then I'm going to say, well, that's the game. Because as tough as A&M's had it at LSU, quite frankly, has LSU looked good this year?
Yeah.
So, and then of course, anytime you go over to any, you know how rivalry games are. I mean, I saw one time it looked like Ole Miss had Mississippi State beat, and then some guy, you know, tried to act like he was taking a leak on a fire hydrant, and then they lost.
Yes.
Crazy things happen in a rivalry game. So, you know, that would be the next one. But I'm going to tell you something else, Stingray. I'm not – A&M, I truly believe, is good enough to beat any team in the country just head up. But they're not good enough to take anybody lightly. And I've seen years when Arkansas lost to Western Kentucky and North Texas and then they beat A&M. And now it's not in Dallas. It's in Fayetteville. So I'm not even going to take that one for granted.
Look, man, thank you. Enjoy covering the Florida game this weekend and leave us like you always do with your famous saying.
Hey, it's just a reminder because for everybody that loves America, that America starts with A&M.
Olin, thank you, man. Whoop, giggum this weekend. Catch you next week, all right?
Thanks, Stingray.
Thank you, man. All right, so that is going to wrap up the A&M and Florida preview show. I really do want to thank Graham Hall and Olin Buchanan for joining me on this edition of the Stingray Show. I also want to thank all of you guys out there who continue to listen to the Stingray Show after Hey Coach this evening. When we come back on the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show, I'm going to be again without a co-host, but I will be joined by a beat writer from Arkansas with Kevin Bohanna, and I will be joined by Ryan Silva of Rocky Top Insider to talk about Arkansas and Tennessee. That is on the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show, and we will dive into that matchup tomorrow evening back at our normal time of 6 p.m. Good night.